Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato, who is in Boston after the Thunder's 105-104 win over the Celtics. Joe, can you just describe for us the... We'll get to the actual play on the floor, but what was the atmosphere like in TD Garden in those final seconds?
I mean, it was incredible. Like, I'm sure they regularly have good crowds here. Obviously, it's one of the best sports towns there is, but this place was packed for a Sunday evening game. Everyone was on their feet. Everyone was going crazy. The music was blaring, and like, it was just like, it's cliche to say, but it like felt like a playoff game. It was like that kind of atmosphere between a team that we knew was going to be good heading into the year, and then a Thunder team that like continues to shock pretty much everybody.
Yeah, it's crazy that we've had two insanely close games between these two teams this year. Like, two one-point games.
Exactly. With some, like, I mean, I know we'll get to the big defensive plays, but like Marcus Smart, the steal he had in the last game in Oklahoma City, and how the Celtics barely edged out the Thunder, and then the other way around tonight. It really was two great games.
All right. Well, you did such a great job in your game story, which everyone should read, describing those essentially the last two massive defensive plays for the Thunder. Will you take us through those final seconds, starting with Steven Adams' missed free throws?
Yeah, I mean, that was probably the loudest the arena got after Steven Adams missed both of his free throws, the second of which. So, you know, the Thunder was down by 1 point at that point, and they, you know, Steven Adams steps to the line after getting a pass from Chris Paul. He's fouled down low, misses both of those free throws, and, you know, those were two huge missed free throws. And then I think it was the next Thunder possession, Chris Paul missed a floater. Celtics get the rebound. Chris Paul actually rebounded the second of Steven Adams' missed free throws, but couldn't pay it off. Celtics call timeout. They're inbounding the ball. They have a one-point lead, and they get it to the guy they want to get it to, Kemba Walker, their point guard. And Chris Paul is guarding Kemba Walker. Dennis Schroeder sprints over. They had set up a trap along the sideline, and Schroeder just pokes the ball away. And, you know, as he turns around, he's basically right under the rim for an easy layup to give the Thunder a one-point lead.
Yeah, I'm going to pause you there because we still have a second one to go through. But that was such... I know that it sounds like they talked about how they wanted a trap beforehand, but Schroeder did such a good job of really, I'm sure from Kemba Walker's perspective, coming out of nowhere. Because as soon as he turns his head, Schroeder is in there and just in there and disrupting. And there's nothing at that point that he could do after he essentially like lost sight of Schroeder.
Yeah, it was, you know... Sure, they had talked about a trap. They, of course, wanted to set up a trap, and if that didn't work, they would foul. Because even if they foul and Kemba Walker goes to the free throw line, makes two free throws, the Thunder still gets the ball back down by three and still has a chance to send it to overtime. So, but the game plan was trap first. If that doesn't work, then foul. But you don't know like where the catch is going to be made and how the trap is going to be set up. So right. It was just that, you know, Dennis Schroeder knew where to be. Like, Chris Paul played some really good defense. He wouldn't let Kemba Walker get away from that sideline. And in that situation, the sideline was basically acting like another defender because it limits where you can go. And, you know, Dennis Schroeder understood that and came over and made a really, really good play. And, like, his speed.
And didn't foul on that play.
Yeah. Yeah, both of them not fouling was huge.
Okay, so Schroeder gets the layup. Thunder go up by one. The Celtics call a timeout. What happens next?
Yeah, so apparently in the timeout, this is the story that Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder told after the game. Chris Paul turns to Billy Donovan and tells Billy that he wants to guard Jason Tatum. He hadn't had that matchup pretty much the whole game, But on that one possession, he wanted to guard the Celtics' best score. And Dennis Schroeder said after the game that he was like, are you sure you want that matchup? Because like Schroeder is competitive and he wants it as well. And like Dennis was saying, that stuff isn't uncommon. Like he'll say that like Terrence asked for those, and like, you know, they're all competitive. They all want to guard the other team's best player, but it's pretty hard to tell Chris Paul no in that situation. So
for sure.
Chris Paul gets the matchup, and he said after the game that Tatum probably got the shot he wanted, but the Thunder probably got the shot they wanted Tatum to take. Like instead of a clean look coming off a screen, Tatum just tries to back down Chris Paul, and Paul basically holds pretty firm and forces Tatum into a mid-range fallback jumper, spinning away from the basket, and the ball barely touches the rim. So it was just back-to-back two really good defensive possessions.
Yeah, and then the rest of the guys do a good job of not allowing a putback and not fouling anyone in the absolute mayhem that was the scene under the basket. And Thunder come away with the 1-point win.
Yeah, and just to see like Chris Paul's emotion after this game, like he was pounding his chest. The guys ran off the bench to like crowd around him and like celebrate with him. And like you could tell this win meant a lot to them, not only winning at Boston and completing a perfect road trip, but doing it without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and doing it in a game they trailed by 18 points. Like I don't know. I feel like I've said this too much, but this has to be in the discussion as best wins of the season, don't you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think at some point we're going to have to like sit down and rank them, because there's been so many good ones and so many close ones. And right now I'm drawing a blank besides the Minnesota. Yeah.
The Minnesota one, and then like when they blew
obviously
out
not the same
and
level
Russ's return.
Not the same level of competition.
Yeah, don't get me started.
We'll get there. They play them in a couple days. No, I think definitely ranks up there for sure. If not the best, at least the top three. And Chris Paul said on the post-game broadcast, he told Nick Gallo on Fox Sports Oklahoma that he was like, that's the most emotional I've gotten in a while. So they obviously all felt it, and he could joke about Shai, about the headlines that we should use with Shai out after the game.
I can't believe we used that.
I'm so happy that we did. What did he say?
That's not the headline that I put in. So our trusty editors must have changed that. But
props to
kudos
the desk.
To them.
What was it? SGA out, Thunder rolls or something
Thunder
like that?
Thunder rolls. Yeah. So that's the Chris Paul said after the game that he joked in the locker room that was going to be the headline. And Chris does all kinds of stuff and vice versa to get under SGA's skin and basically saying, hey, like we don't need you.
Right.
He's out and we roll to a win. So,
well, let's talk
so
a little
really funny
about that Shai injury. When did Billy say that Shai hurt his right hip, right? Is it right?
Yeah, right hip contusion. You know, like I was checking the injury reports earlier in the day and I didn't see that on there. So it must have, you know, he was a game time decision. He went through his regular pregame warmups, like he was dressed out and everything. And then as he came back into the locker room, the Thunder ruled him out. So it was definitely doesn't seem to be a serious thing if he was thinking about giving it a go today. I don't know when he hurt that hip in the win against the Knicks. Like, I don't think anyone talked about it after the game. I didn't notice it. I'd have to go back and see, but that's basically all I know about that.
Gotcha. Yeah, so this is the first game that he's missed all season. I think he was the last guy who hadn't missed a game on the Thunder.
I think that's right. Like, Baisley had it until he got hurt.
Right.
So I think Shai is the last one.
And then Chris's is the one right after Kobe's death. This is the only game he's missed, but he's missed one. So,
yeah, I didn't realize. I mean, Eric Horn did a great job of pointing this out, that Shai is tied with Tobias Harris coming into the night for most minutes in the NBA. Now, he doesn't rank in the top 10 in minutes per game, but just because he's stayed healthy, he's played a ton of minutes. So, and Billy had some pretty telling quotes before the game saying there are times that, you know, in close games when he would play him 38, 39 minutes, he basically admitted that he probably should have laid off a little bit and to not monitor his minutes in any way. But I mean, remember, this is a guy that wasn't playing huge minutes last year, is a rookie. So he's taken quite a leap.
Right. Yeah. It's like 10 more a game or even more on average, which is insane. And has obviously never hoped injury on anyone. So trying not to jinx him, but has stayed super healthy all season. But the other guards showed out. There was
SGA out, Thunder rolled.
Should we make that the podcast title?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we have to. That's a good idea.
Cool. We can do that. Because I mean, our last one was great. It was garden party, but it's like, dang, they had two garden parties in a row. Like,
yeah. it's a big garden party.
So many garden parties. But it wasn't always the sure thing. You had the Celtics hitting five threes in a row. They had threes in five straight possessions in the second quarter to take that 18-point lead that you mentioned earlier. And at that point, it was looking pretty bleak for the Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like it might be a blowout at that point. The last one was a transition three from Gordon Hayward, and that put the Celtics up by 18, which was their largest lead of the game. And again, this place was going crazy. And, you know, that it gets overshadowed by the two defensive plays and how well they played defense the whole second half. But that 7-0 run the Thunder went on right before the end of right before halftime was huge, because they responded to all those Celtics threes. And Nerlens Noel had a dunk. They forced the Celtics into a turnover. I think Gallinari hit a three. And all of a sudden, they go to the locker room down 11, which is a lot more manageable than being down 18.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Paul had a layup in there, too. And yeah, exactly what you said. It's obviously not the most exciting pivotal point, but certainly a turning point in the game. And really at that, once they cut it down to that 53-52 lead by the Celtics, suddenly the Thunder are in it and in it for the rest of the game.
Yeah, it was pretty back and forth. Like, there were times where like baskets were really hard to come by for both teams. Not super high scoring, but especially the defense the Thunder played in that second half, specifically in guarding Jason Tatum and really making him work, whether it was Terrence Ferguson on him or Hamidou Diallo, whoever was matched up against Tatum, like he just looked way more comfortable in the first half than he did in the second half.
Yeah, we should mention Terrence Ferguson got the start because of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander being out, which once you look at the Celtics, that makes a lot of sense. The other option would be either Hamidou Diallo, which wouldn't make that much sense. He
played maybe great. Nader.
Well, obviously, or move Schroeder into the starting lineup and stagger his and Chris Paul's minutes. But then you're messing with your rotations. Because, I mean, Schroeder's your next best player, right? But then you're messing with your rotations, and in that, with those starter, at least, you know, before you pull them out to make sure that him and Chris are staggered, you have one of them probably on Jason Tatum, or you have Lou on Jason Tatum, and either way, you have a height problem or slash length problem. And so it makes a lot of sense to just not mess with that until, I guess, the last play of the game.
Yeah, and I definitely think you could make an argument that what if they would have went, you know, with a better offensive option to start the game than Terrence Ferguson. But clearly, like, they wanted to go defense first. And if you look at the the final box, like, you know, the only Celtic that really shot a great percentage on high volume was Gordon Hayward. He was 9 of 19, but Tatum was 8 of 22. Marcus Smart was 7 of 17. Kemba Walker was 4 of 14. They held the Celtics to 41% shooting and 35% shooting from three. So this really was like a good defensive performance. And, you know, that's why Terrence Ferguson and Hamidou Diallo and Lou Dort, you know, played big minutes in this one.
Yeah, for sure. And then offense picked up in that third quarter when Dennis Schroeder and Chris Paul were masterful on that end.
Yeah, they combined for 55 points total. They had 28 and 27. Gallinari had 18, but really, like, that was all the scoring, pretty much. Like, you tweeted out during the game, it's basically, it was no surprise that Schroeder and Paul were picking up that slack, but someone certainly needed to when your leading scorer is out.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that. I mean, they've dealt pretty well with Danilo Gallinari for when he's been out, and for most of that, he's been their second leading scorer. Maybe a couple games he was their third, but like right up there. But Shea gone is a different story, because he's not only your leading scorer, but also has that length on the defensive end that you have to find someone, like we said, someone to pick up that end too. So really, yeah, a lot going against the Thunder when Shea's out.
And just like we mentioned his minutes, but it's a little different than when Gallinari is out, because Shea's playing more minutes than anybody. So
right,
that's just that many more minutes you have to fill with guys who just aren't as good as Shea. So they Billy Donovan patched this one together pretty well, I thought. It's not like, it's kind of impressive how good the Thunder looked even without Shea. Like, I did not think it would, you know, sometimes the offense, it was not great, but to come into Boston without your best scorer and win was frankly very surprising.
Yeah, and the Thunder has, I mean, their best lineups are those three guard lineups, right? Those mm-hmm. 3-point guard lineups. And so suddenly you're looking at a lot less crossover, because there's very few times when everyone's healthy that the Thunder only has one point guard on the floor. Like, usually
that's right.
There's at least two. In the closing lineup, it's all three of them. And so you're getting a different type of player in there no matter what, and a different kind of setup. And granted, they've all been playing basketball for their whole lives, and they've all played, and several times this year, you know, played with just two guards in, and they looked really good when Dennis and Chris were in at the same time, and they're used to doing that. But it definitely shifts things.
Yeah. Well, one guy I know I mentioned his name a little bit ago, but Abdul Nader,
I thought
was just really good tonight. He made both of his threes, but four blocks.
That crazy.
Was just the jump he's made defensively is remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's his career high with those four blocks. And they're like, they were clean. He had some chase down blocks. Like, it was,
they were pretty emphatic.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he barely tips the ball. It was like, geez, where did that come from?
Yeah, and a lot of times would then get the Thunder out on the fast break, and that was a huge shift, huge momentum shift when he'd get those. And he's a guy who has kind of, he's gone in and out of the rotation a little bit, in and out of the starting lineup. He's seen his role change throughout the season, but has gotten a lot more playing time with Bazley out, and is seeming, especially on the defensive end, really leaning into that role.
Yeah. You know, I still don't think we know exactly how the Thunder's playoff rotation is going to look, and Abdul Nader might not be a part of that, but like, if he keeps playing like this, he's at least gonna make Billy think about playing him, especially with the offense he provides, like if he can still kind of hold his own defensively.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what happens when Bazley comes back, because the Thunder obviously likes him.
That's right.
But as we saw with Terrence Ferguson, they like Terrence Ferguson too, and he lost his starting spot for for a rookie who was playing super well. So there's not really, especially this year, there's not really a rigid hierarchy, I guess would be the best way to put it. So, I mean, there are times when Billy, for instance, when Hamdou Diallo went out for that ankle injury for a while, he promised like he will still have a rotation spot when he gets back, and he kept that promise. But you know, then there's also been times this season when Hamdou Diallo has fallen out of the rotation. So it's really moving and shifting, and I feel like every like college coach tells you like, oh, you can always play your way into a spot, and that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
But it feels like this year and with this group, that's more true than most teams I've ever seen or covered.
Yeah, no, I mean, and Billy has kind of ridden the hot hand. Like, even I know Lou Dort got his opportunity because of Terrence, but Lou keeps playing well, and he keeps getting into the starting lineup. And when Nader's been playing well, he keeps playing. So I really do think it's going to be like who's performing the best leading up to the playoffs is going to play.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, like we said, those rotations will be shortened. You'll see a lot less of some of the guys at the end of the bench, but it'll all be fun.
Speaking of playoffs, the Thunder, suddenly the five seed.
Yeah. Should we play if the season ended today?
Yes. I hope you have the standing it's in front of you.
Yes.
Though, because I don't. Okay.
I do. If the season ended today, Thunder would be in the five spot, and the Utah Jazz are in the four. So that's honestly...
And they're a game and a half back of the Jazz, is that right?
They are... Oh gosh, I pulled up the... Yes. No,
that's
just...
Okay.
Wait. Game and a half, yes.
Yeah, so... Gee, I mean, a game and a half away from being a potential host in the first round
that's
is where
crazy.
The Thunder's played themselves into.
Yeah, so they jumped the Rockets, which I'm sure everyone has feelings about.
The Rockets lost at home tonight to the Magic.
That's brutal.
It's a bad loss.
There were some good games today. Obviously, the LA matchup was prime time, but there, like, I feel like everything else was close.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy that this, like, Thunder Celtics game was like such a big game. Like who would have thought that a few months ago?
Right. I didn't even think
yeah,
it would be that close. I know how well the Thunder have been playing this season and how well they've been playing on the road, but Boston's a really hard place to play, and they've been fine recently. Like they've gotten the wins that they needed to, but they've been closer. The last two games have been closer than you might have expected. I mean, not the Knicks game, but at the beginning of that game, it was still
yeah. I mean, that was closer than expected at the beginning. Yeah, like, and if you the Thunder would take going 2-1 on this road trip anytime, I think.
Yeah,
sure. As long as you can pick up a couple wins on the road in a 3-game trip, especially when one of the games is at the Celtics. And now they're going home and they swept the road trip and they keep winning on the road. And Billy Donovan, I thought, had a really good quote after the game. I'll just paraphrase it a bit. He basically said, like, we're not perfect like any team, but our competitiveness and our effort is perfect. And I thought that pretty well summed up the Thunder season.
Yeah.
Like, certainly not the most talented, but, like, they really do, even in games like this when you're like, oh, the Thunder could lose this game by 15 to 20 points, especially without Shea, and then they come into Boston and win, and it's like they're always competitive and they always mm-hmm. give effort.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else on this game?
I do not believe so. I think that does it.
Cool. Works for me. Congrats on finishing out this road trip. Thunder are headed home next for a couple playing the Jazz. Fun. Potential
yeah, that,
a potential playoff matchup.
That turns into a huge game all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Absolutely. So, yeah, Jazz on Wednesday, Minnesota on Friday. Joe's favorite team.
I'm going to have to, like, stop trashing the Timberwolves. It's a divisional game. They play them four times a year, and I can't come across as, like, biased against the T-Wolves. I will let everyone know. It's all just, I'm just having fun. I don't actually hate the T-Wolves.
We know. And it's not like you're ragging on them. It's not like you hate them. You just point out when they do poorly, they've given you a lot of opportunities to do that.
Yeah, it's tough love for the T-Wolves.
Yeah, and then Thunder still have a few more road games. They've got a lot of road games to finish.
Yeah, another 3-game road trip at the end of next week. So winnable games
we'll be
on that
there
road too. Trip
too,
though.
And by yeah. we, I mean Joe.
It's all
the Royal.
We're a team, Maddie.
Yeah, I'll be there in spirit.
You'll be there, like, on the phone via podcast.
Yep. Exactly. Through the broadcast. All right, cool. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning into this edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, share it with your friends, your family, your neighbors, your pets. You subscribe and get all of them to subscribe and rate us wherever you listen to your podcast. And we will see you on Wednesday after the Jazz game.